Welcome to Super Tati's for Parshas Vayechi. So much great stuff this week. I've got three Rav Meir Simchas for you. Let's start there. When it says that Yaakov lived Be'eretz Mitzrayim, why does it say Be'eretz Mitzrayim and not anywhere else? That's the question he's trying to deal with, because he lived in a specific area. You know, all the Jews lived in Goshen. So why does it not say Goshen or an area or a smaller concentric circle? So he has a theory and a concept which we see elsewhere, which is Yesh Shechai Le'iro V'Yesh Shechai Le'olam. There are people who live for what's right around them, and there are people who live for the whole world and for bigger things. And we have this concept that Shlomo Melech says, which is the Tzadik Yisod Olam, that really a Tzadik is the cornerstone of the world. And we are, of course, familiar with the idea of Pana Ziva, Pana Hadra, Pana Chvoda, meaning the idea that a tzaddik has a direct influence on the environment around them. And the Meshech Chochma posits that Yaakov Avinu was the kind of person who was Chai La'olam. He lived for everything, the whole world. He was trying to be contributing to the whole world. And he had a much, much broader lens, and not just Eretz Mitzrayim. So he stopped the famine in Mitzrayim with his bracha. So Chazal said that when he gave a bracha, it was for the whole Nile, and the Nile was really the fundamental cornerstone of their economy. So when the Nile succeeded due to his bracha, all of a sudden, all of Mitzrayim was, you know, directly affected by the tzaddik, even in Gashmias. And when he died, it says there was an evil kaved bechol Mitzrayim. It was in all of Mitzrayim. Now, you know, it makes perfect sense that the neighbors knew he was a tzaddik. It would probably make sense that people in Goshen knew he was a tzaddik. But the whole of Mitzrayim, it must have been that his influence was far greater. And there was, additionally, says Rav Meir Simcha, that there was a big avelus, because they knew that they weren't going to bury Mitzrayim. In the Chazal, it says that the kavura of a tzaddik can bring a kapara, and Rav Meir Simcha suggests perhaps this kapara was for the locale and not for the entire world, which could make sense because that's where the Oritz is. So this is the same idea that we see from the Ramchal, the way that he understands the Chazal about the Avnei HaMakom. They're all fighting. Ala Yanuach Rosha Shal Tzadik. They all want the Tzadik to put his head on them because it's an ilui to them. He lifts up, it says, when Tzadik HaMisala, Misala Eskola Om Kulo Imo, he lifts the whole world up with them. And he brings the quote from Shlomo Melech, that says, Or Tzadikim Yismach, that the light, as soon as the Or HaGonuz knew that it was being Gonuz for Tzadikim, this was were the best news ever. Because once you know that you're a Tashmish for the Tzadikim, then you know that you have a very special purpose, and everybody wants everybody, everything, wants to have a part of that very special idea. And not only that, you can use this to understand perhaps even for more commonplace people like me, when you read the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where he says that a person should view that every action they do is not only going to be Makriya themselves, but could be Machriya the entire world. Because if the entire world was right in the balance, you're the one who could tilt that balance. So even even somebody like us can be Mis'ala of the entire world. But this imports an idea to us, and that's a double entendre. It imports, it brings to us, and it also underscores the importance of the fact that there are people who live for what's directly around them, and then there are people who live for the whole world. We should know who we should choose. Number two, so Ayin, the Harchav Dover of the Netziv here, which will give you some similar ideas, but Rav Meir Simcha explains why the Targum says Bitzlosi V'usi. Those are two different types of tefillah. They're both tefillahs. So what's the concept that's being said here? Are we just using synonyms? So Slosi says, Rav Meir Samcha is a tefila kavua. This is something that follows the matbeya shel tefila that came from the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. And Vu'usi is the tzrachim, is the extra bakashos that we make, where Chazal tell us you can be mechadesh in your tefila, even in the Shemona Esrei. And there's a big nafkamina, the practical implication, where the distinction is in the Seder HaTefillah, Kavana is a minimal baseline requirement. Of course, Kavana is extraordinarily important, but somebody who did not achieve the highest level of Kavana, you know, they had some Kavana in the first bracha in Avos, but somebody who didn't achieve Kavana, it's still satisfactory at a base level. But with the Chidush HaTefillah, that really requires an additional Kavana. And he cites at least Rav Chaim's version of the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah Aleph Tes, Gemara in Brachos, where Rabbi Zeira says you need to be mechadesh in your tefillas. The Gemara in Tainus that says the concept tzarich, it says lasim nafsho bakafo, meaning you need to put it all out there. And then other areas where it doesn't seem so much, and he answers Kanbet Yachid, Kanbet Tzibur. The necessity for extraordinary kavana is for a Yachid. Obviously, in a Tzibur, generally, we follow the rules of Tefillah and the Matbeya Shel Tefillah. We kind of follow the rule book, as it were. So therefore, you don't really need it. Moreover, the Yerushalmi says that Achisofel was davening three Tefillos Chadashos B'chol Yom. So that is all making this great distinction. And then Rav Meir Simcha throws a real beautiful, clear reading here. And he says, you could be Madaik in two places now. Becharvi uvakashti, the cherev is a sword, which is tefila kavua. This is something which is so sharp, it can injure just if somebody touches it. Meaning it does not require any exogenous power to make it potent or dangerous, right, or powerful. Masha'in kein a keshes is a bow from a bow and arrow. That bow is only strong if we put our power into it. So he says you can see that the personal tefillah requires power, kavana, focus, intent, for it to be powerful. Second, he says that if you look at Shema Hashem Tchinasi, Hashem Tfilasi Yikach, means daven for Hashem, please listen to my Tchinos. That's the personal Tfilos, the additions, the Hosafos, the individual Tfilos. But the Tfilos, it just says Yikach, you will take. Why? Because the Tfilos are the Tfila Kavua. All we have to do is follow the directions. Masha Inkein, when it comes to something which is more bespoke, it needs to be heartfelt for it to carry the same sort of weight. Next is the concept of Misbed Godol. Misbed Godol, this is when Yaakov dies. In all of Mitzrayim, you don't have to get too far in the Parsha to already find gems and gems and gems, mountains in Rav Meir Simcha. It says, the Gemara in Sota says, this included the Susim and the Chamorim, the horses and the mules, the donkeys, in the Avel, and he cites or alludes to Yeshayahu, says Yada Shor Koneu, Evus Baalov, says that it seems the behemos know that there is a chisaron for the person who gives them okcha. When the person who's giving them food is lacking something, right, that is noticeable to them, they can feel it, they can know. The Tortamima says that they wore avela's clothes, but it seems like they had a sense that something was wrong. Moreover, says Rav Meir Simcha, you know, if we didn't gloss over it when we were learning Rashi, we could have thought that when Yaakov gave a bracha to Paro, that's very nice, but really the economic impact of the bracha of a tzaddik is very, very significant. And when his bracha left, when he passed away, all the behemos felt like they were missing something. So it's just an appreciation of the bracha of a tzaddik. So on to our third Mivchar HaPinim in a row. I'm very fond of this sefer as I continue to learn. I see him show up in the Nachmiash. I see him show up in the Gra. I see him show up in Rabbeinu Yonah. I see him show up all over the place once my eyes are open. So I realize how powerful this is. A shout out to Harav Eli Pilot, who wrote a sefer called Sheilas Chachamim Chatzi Tshuva, which is based on this. So Sheilas Chachamim Chatzi Chochma. The Shaila to a Chacham is half of a wisdom. Now there are two girsos here. One is Sheilas Chachamim, and the other one is Sheilas Chacham. So Sheilas Chachamim, the girsa, would mean that it is the Chacham is asking, and Sheilas Chachamim is the way that the person is asking. So it's either the Chacham asking or the Shoal is asking. Upius b'nei Adam, and the way that we comfort or try to speak to bring some satisfaction to people, Chatzi Haskel, is half intelligence, and v'seder ha'otzah, meaning people skills, soft skills. V'seder ha'otzah, and somebody who organizes their liabilities and expenses and their income, Chatzi Sipuk, is half of Sipuk, which is satisfaction or sustenance or needs. So all three of these are so deep. Sheilas Chachamim. So let's, Sheilas Chacham Chatzi Tshuva, when a Chacham asks you a question in return, this is the Socratic method or the Elahavdil, so Socratic method, or the way to be Misader. We talk about the Chachamim, Shoa Ki'inyan, he's asking good questions. Before, when I was told how to ask Shailas or to respond to Shailas, I was told you only answer the Shaila they ask you, but sometimes you need to ask questions to be Bavarer because you might not always get all the details. So the way that a Chacham has a panoramic view, you just want to make sure that, you know, you're thinking through. I remember it was just the Yortzeit of Rav Reuven Gross Tzatzal, and he had I remember I was once talking to him about a particular appliance, and I was wondering, should I follow the Chalkas Yaakov on this because it has a plug? And, you know, I'm worried about the machine breaking if I don't do this. And, or should I try to follow Rav Moshe Feinstein to Tefillah L'Chatzoyin, which is a very difficult concept to work with? Or like, how do I get around with this? And I'm sitting, like, what should I do? He said, he looked at me, he said, think simpler. You can take this piece off. I was like, oh, good. I remember that. I was like, you know, and he kind of looked at me, he said, don't work. He gave me this look like, don't work so hard. Here's, you know, so you ask the questions, like the Chacham has a much more panoramic view. Second is the Mahalik of the person asking. And I will tell you, I gained so much by having a Seder with HaRav Yonah Ries, the Av Beis Din here in Chicago. Just a little time weekly to kind of make sure that, you know, I have a Mahalik of the things I'm learning, the things I'm teaching, whatnot, and the Shailas. So it makes me check in with myself, what shailas did I run into every week? So a few things is that the preparation for a shaila, you're already prepared, you get to listen to the sikha of a Talmidei Chachamim, which needs limud. You think before, how am I going to ask? It's mvorer, what sfeikos you have. Sometimes you wait. Sometimes I have a shaila that I sit on for a long time. Because I want to make sure I'm thinking about it properly before I bother somebody. And I want to make sure that I get a proper definitive answer. And number four, also, you know that you don't know something, which is also a sign of intelligence. So you need to kind of deal with that. Number one, and so that's the first one of the three. These are all three things where it gets you a good part of the way. So the next one is Pius Bnei Adam Chatzi Haskel. This is people skills, is that there are people who ride and thrive on social intelligence. And there are people who die by their lack of social intelligence. There are people who are so extraordinarily book smart. I've referred to them as people who are tripping over their brains. And these people can't function because it's like they have an almost fatal muscle imbalance, right? This person is so smart, but so stupid. I remember there was somebody who thought that, you know, when it rains, the best thing that they could ever do is wear as little clothing as possible, because that way the clothing wouldn't get wet. But meanwhile, they're going to die of hypothermia by going out in the rain. Like, you know, sometimes you come up with bad svaras, right? So people skills, seichel. And the next one, seder hotzah chatzi sipuk. Somebody, seder hotzah, I was just mentioning to somebody, there's, you know, questions of whether or not the, you know, the regular education, you know, that we thought was a prerequisite for everybody where they need to, you know, to learn general studies education to a certain point, whether or not it serves the same purpose today. And one footnote I said was, I think everybody should agree, though, basic skills of accounting can make a big difference. I think that there are a lot of people who are absolutely shell-shocked when they emerge from adolescence and their responsibilities include working on a balance sheet and saying, wait a minute, how much do I spend and how much do I have and make? What's coming in, what's going out? Seder hotzah chatzi sipuk. One is lechel namala atzel. Look at the ant prepares, right? And number two is just have a balanced budget. Is that when you have a balanced budget, you really know how much you have. All of a sudden you learn, one, to be satisfied with what you have and live within your means, and second, to just be prepared. I think that there's a lot of the worst things happen in life when people haven't given any thought to something, and at least this kind of gets you percolating on the idea. There's a lot more to say. I'm sure there are plenty of stories, but if it was me, I would take this milchar apinim and throw it out in your family and see where it takes you. Have a wonderful Shabbos.